co-host. I was just informed that I'm the host, Mike Ricker here, the one and only.
And I'm the
And
co-host, Chris.
Chris, who are you?
Chris Runt.
All right, the one and only legendary Chris Runt. We're here to talk about movies, comics, whatever your heart desires, as long as it's full of nerdy goodness. We're going to talk about it. Well, we'll talk about most of it. We can't talk about all of it. We don't want to sit here for 4.5 hours, but we'll get a majority of it. It is called Cantina Cast, so I mean, we will talk about a little bit of Star Wars here. Have you heard of Star Wars, Chris? I don't know.
Some crappy indie film.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Something on news the other day about this movie that I don't know. It was a trilogy or a sequel or something. And something that has to do with Avatar and James Cameron. I don't know.
Some 70s garbage.
No, but honestly, Star Wars. Holy shit, this movie blew up. I mean, not that we didn't think it was going to blow up, but I mean, I remember seeing a Forbes article saying, oh, this movie is not going to break $1 billion. You know, it's coming out during December. This is a bunch of bullshit. You guys aren't going to make any money. And then here we are. The tally today is $1.8 billion this movie has made.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's almost $2 billion. Can I tell you, that is the most out of any Star Wars movie so far.
Easily.
Easily. Guess what the next one is. I didn't believe this when I read this. The next highest grossing Star Wars film.
I'm pretty sure it's Phantom Menace. And
I think you got me there.
It's 1.2.
Yeah, it's around $1 billion for Phantom Menace. The next
same kind of hype.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Revenge of the Sith is the third, which is $850 million. It's funny how Clone Wars didn't make third, but it was the next one after Revenge of the Sith. I think most people waiting for the trilogy are like.
When Revenge of the Sith came out, everyone was just like, it's kind of like the old ones, guys.
Maybe we'll wait this out. We'll just skip the second one. We'll go to the third one. Hopefully Anakin's grown up by then. The shitty child actor's gone. And hopefully Jar Jar Binks fell down a sewer somewhere and is trapped after the second movie.
Did I tell you that I've recently met people who actually like Jar Jar Binks?
And you haven't talked to those people since, I hope.
I mean, I've tried, but they keep coming back.
So when people like Jar Jar Binks, I want to know what's going through their mind. What do they tell you?
Not much. I make fun of them and then they defend them to me. The one funny thing about it is that I think all of them that have defended them to me have ended up being women that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's saying something about the character or. Nah, but
he appealed
they
more.
They thought he was funny and this and that.
I mean, I could see it as maybe someone coming into the trilogy, seeing him. I know when I was early 2000. I mean, I was younger. I was probably like what 9 or 10. I ate that shit up. I was like, yes, give me more Jar Jar. I couldn't get enough of that guy. That's all I remember about the movie. I don't remember trade negotiations. My mind couldn't even process that. I watched it later, and then I was like, what is this garbage?
I just remember pod racing.
Now, this is pod racing. I know. That was
especially
probably the best part.
The game came out.
Oh, yeah. That N64 game was that ruled my childhood. Oh, but, yeah. I mean, okay, so we both obviously saw 7. I think it's safe to say.
How many times did you see it?
I saw it 6 times.
Oh, geez, you got me beat.
Yeah. How many times did you see it?
4. They were just making fun of me at the comic shop for that.
Why? Because it wasn't enough?
No, because I was significantly more than everybody else there.
Really?
You the owner who still hasn't seen it.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm the guy at work right now that I have people coming up to my desk like, hey, so how many times are you at on Star Wars now? Like, I don't know if they don't believe me or they have like a bet going on in the office because I have people coming up to me that I've never even seen before. They're like, hey Mike, so how many times did you see Star Wars? I'm like, who the hell are you? I don't even know that you work here. Like I've never spoke to you ever, but apparently it's the running joke that I'm the guy going to see Star Wars. I've definitely paid my dues for it, so hopefully I contributed to that $1.8 billion.
It is worse things it could be.
It is true. I mean, I absolutely loved it. Obviously, I saw it 6 times. I have never seen a movie that many times in a theater, and I think I most recent one I saw more than once was probably Mad Max. I saw 3 times. But even then, I kind of got bored after the third time because it was like I'd seen it already. But when I went back and saw Star Wars, I was like, oh, man, there's so much more stuff to look at. You know, there's all those background characters. There's all those hints towards the, you know, the previous trilogy. And I mean, the original trilogy, there was probably hardly any hints towards the shitty trilogy, I don't think. But it was just like, I don't know. It was so good. I mean, did you notice, all those little, you know, head nods towards the original trilogy, right? I'm sure most people did, you know, the trash compactor comment.
Oh yeah. And the fact that the movie as a whole was,
oh yeah,
pretty much episode 4. I mean,
I think a lot of people are shitting on it because of that though. And I was like, you obviously can't find anything wrong with this movie except the fact that it resembles episode 4. I mean,
I have no problem with it. I mean, I really, really enjoyed the movie. And so I went 4 times. But I don't understand why people are upset about that. I mean, we bitched and moaned because of the prequel trilogies. Wow, I lost my train of thought there for a second. We bitched and moaned because the prequel trilogy was so unlike the other one, and we wanted to go back to those old movies. And then they did, and now we're bitching that it's too much like those old movies. So yeah, I just don't understand. I think people see the bitch online. I think that's what it is.
I think the ones whining are that, like, that little small crowd of 2 to 3 people that get all the publicity because their idea is so ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, yeah, the plot has similarities to episode 4, but that was what we loved about Star Wars is episode 4. So, I mean, like, if you're going to give me more of that, I'm just throwing my wallet at the cinema, at the Blu-rays. I'm going to pre-order the Blu-ray. I've never pre-ordered a Blu-ray any time in my entire life. I'm going to do it for this movie, though.
Oh, I already did.
See, you already did. I never talked to anyone that has pre-ordered a Blu-ray for anything. It's not like it's a video game release. I'll probably even go to the midnight opening if there is. I mean, I'll wait in line again. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Give me another reason to talk with people about Star Wars.
My only one mini complaint about it, and we can actually get into it when we talk about episode 8, is just that they blew up another Death Star. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't have a huge problem with that because I enjoyed how the plot went with it. But if they blow up another one in episode 8, I'm going to have trouble with that.
Yeah, that was kind of, I mean, that was almost like a joke in itself where, you know, Han, spoilers to anyone who has, it's not like anybody's going to listen to this podcast, but to anyone who hasn't seen Star Wars.
We should put in the beginning of the show next time, like, we're spoiling the crap out of everything we talk about.
Yeah, we're going to spoil the shit out of everything, whether it's the movie, the Star Wars movie. Obviously we're going to talk about some trailers, but that's not, I mean, unless you're one of those people that, no, I don't watch trailers because I don't like to, I don't like free stuff. You're one of those people. I don't know. I mean, we'll throw up some warnings ahead of time, but obviously we're going to spoil 7. We're going to spoil 8 because nothing's come out for 8, and you're going to hear it here first because we know everything. We're just going to speculate if it's going to be right because obviously we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, JJ on the phone.
Yeah, he called me earlier, and he said, hey, I'm not writing it, so I don't know shit about the movie.
But can we get serious for a second?
Yeah.
I need to talk about something in this movie that nobody's talking about.
Okay, talk about it.
There is a giant CG monster butthole in this movie.
You mean the water trough scene?
Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of centerfold too on the screen. Yeah,
I was blown away at the midnight because I went Thursday night midnight when it first came out.
Yeah,
and I was sitting there watching it, and I could not believe that I was staring at a giant CG butthole.
I tried to let that go. But I mean, I think they might have just been like JJ saying, "Hey, we have a lot of attention to detail with these characters. Let me tell you, like."
I like to believe that that's the one day that Kevin Smith spent on set. Was he just like, "Hey, we just put a butthole in this movie"?
It had to have been. I think his main problem with the Jurassic Park movies is you get this camera running under all these dinosaurs and not one of them has a butthole. But obviously they poop everywhere because, I mean, we have a scene of, you know,
giant
the doctor
pile of shit in that movie.
And she's just diving headfirst into it. Like it's I don't know.
I also love that there's a reference to Clerks in the movie too.
Yeah, the sanitation, right?
Yeah. So
talk about that a little bit.
Well, in Clerks, there's a line, I'm going to butcher it, but basically Dante says to Randall, "What do you think your average stormtrooper can install a nose plumbing?" I forget the exact line.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then in episode 7, Finn, who is a stormtrooper that turns to the good guys, they ask him what he did on the Death Star, and he said, "I work in sanitation."
And then Han Solo delivers that sanitation. Oh man, he killed it.
Be even better. That's not how the Force works.
Most quotable line. I don't know. It might even be as quotable as some of the lines in the original trilogy. I use that all the time. And something's not working, I'm just like, that's not how the Force works. It's so good.
I loved how my father went to see it about a week ago now, and he called me to tell me how it was, and they liked it, and this and that.
Yeah.
And the one thing he pulled from me is my favorite part is when those two are hugging, and Han goes, "There's no time for that right now." Hug later.
There's no time for hugging now. Yeah.
Because my dad always bitched about that in movies. He's like, "Why are they hugging? Why are they kissing? There's no time for that. Get the fuck out of here."
Your dad is Han Solo. Your dad is old Han Solo. Your dad has seen some shit. It's true, all of it. They hug in movies all the time. It's always a waste of time. Yeah, that Han Solo, he stole the show, man. I don't know, apart from Mark Hamill, though, you know, Mark Hamill had a pretty deep acting role in that movie, let me tell you.
Yeah.
The whole 5 seconds he was on screen. Well, it's funny because
there was that one scene where he was touching R2.
Yeah, that we got in the trailer.
Yeah.
If that is even him. I mean, it's probably, I'm sure Mark Hamill didn't even do that part. It was probably a stand-in.
It was probably JJ.
So we got paid even more for even less being on screen. It's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, that's JJ under the cloak touching R2-D2, like, "It's gonna be okay, everyone. Don't worry. I'll take care of the movie." The opening line of that movie is great too, because Max Sato, that really old actor. That guy's in his early 90s, I think, or late 80s. He's been in a ton of movies, but his opening line is when he's handing the map to Poe. He goes, "This is the beginning to making things right." And I every time I hear that line, I'm like, he's talking about Star Wars in general. Like, the newer trilogy kind of sucked, but this is where we start to turn things around. So here's the map to Luke Skywalker, and take your $1.8 billion. And cash in. No, but really, I'm really excited about episode 8.
I mean,
who isn't?
My last thoughts on 7, though, is I just love the new characters. I mean, seeing the old ones are great. Harrison Ford was amazing in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the new characters are so much fun. Like, Poe is awesome. And
Poe is suave as hell, man.
I'm so happy that they announced a Poe Dameron BB-8 comic for Marvel. I'm going to read the fuck out of that.
Yeah, I might. That might be the one Marvel book I actually buy. Spoiler alert, I am not actually a Marvel fan. I only buy DC and Image Comics, so
DC drone over there.
Hey man, Batman's my shit. He's a good guy all around. But yeah, I would buy that. Yeah, Batman.
Let's go right here.
I had no idea they were doing a Poe Dameron. So how is the beeping going to translate in a comic though? Are you gonna have to like beep out loud while you're reading the comic? How's that go?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what you do for R2 right now.
Yeah, that's true. It kind of just beeps in your head. So it's just going to be kind of like one-sided Poe talking to himself, and then you got to figure out. It should
Well,
come with like.
it's all Poe before episode 7, so they're going to show how he becomes Poe, the
Oh,
Poe
okay.
that we know at least.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I can't wait for more Star Wars stuff. I've been really excited for all the new extended universe stuff.
I was nervous at first because I had you and me both. We spent a lot of money on Star Wars stuff, whether it was pint glasses. I dressed up as Kylo Ren for Halloween, so I was already invested by Halloween. I was at least $100 deep into this movie. The pop figures, the action figures, I bought it all. And then as it got close to the movie, I started thinking, oh my God, what if this movie sucks? What am I gonna do?
I remember that conversation we had where
We had
I
that.
don't know if it was you said it to me or me said it to you, but one of us was just like, "What if this movie is bad?" And
We
then
had
we
that.
looked at all the money we spent and we were just freaking out like this, no, it can't happen. Don't talk about
No,
it. No.
I refuse to believe. And then you flash back to all those people that bought every single Clone Wars figure that's sitting in a box in their attic right now.
All the people that bought the Jar Jar stuff, they're just like, this is going to be the next R2, guys.
Oh God,
Really
yeah.
bad.
All right, so Star Wars 8. We'll wrap it up with what we think we want Star Wars 8 to be. I mean, I know what I want Star Wars 8 to be. I want it to be more Star Wars. It's hard to really upset me at this point. Mark Hamill tweeted, I don't know if you saw his tweet the other day, but he goes, "My role in Star Wars 8 is going to be twice as long as my role in Star Wars 7." But I'm thinking to
I love
myself,
Mark
what?
Hamill.
I know he gets it, man. And I'm thinking to myself, what's 2 times 0? It's still zero. Like, should I start worrying now? Like, is he not gonna be here? Is he gonna stare at the camera for like 10 seconds longer? Or
Maybe this time he has like a line.
yeah, maybe one line. I don't.
Well, for eight, I mean, obviously, I want to know who Snoke is.
Yeah.
It's killing me inside that I don't know, and I have like 20 theories of who he is.
It could be Darth Vader, people are saying, because oh, Darth Vader had a cut across his head. Snoke has a gash across his head. I don't know how that would be possible with Darth Vader's body's burned. We saw it in the movie.
The theory I like the most is, and it's one that'll never happen, but it's that Snoke is like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing, where it's actually someone from Yoda's race. So they're really small and powerful with
Yeah,
the Force,
I
and
well,
they're
that would be
using that
awesome.
as an image and to make it bigger
Yeah.
so that they look more imposing. And then they used Vader's face and identity as kind of a cover up for that and a way to bring Kylo Ren in.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. I don't think they'll do it. It's probably going to be like a
There's ways to go
Palpatine
about
or
it.
something.
Yeah. I do like the, I really think he's not 30 or 40 feet tall. I think that's just ridiculous. Like, you can't have a lightsaber battle against some guy who's 40 feet tall and expect not to start chopping his limbs off before he even reaches you. Like, I did, it's I don't know. I was like, thank God, the part where he kind of, goes back into the hologram machine, I'm like, oh, thank God, because I didn't know how I was going to handle him being a giant.
I also like the theory of, I'm going to butcher the name because I've never, I think I've only read it. Darth Plagueis?
Yeah, Plagueis. I think
Yeah.
it's. Yeah, that would be cool.
Who trained Palpatine. And there's a mention that he's mastered death. So he could have come back from death and become Snoke, which would be cool
Yeah, I
too.
mean, there's so many. Yeah, that would make the most sense of like, oh, why is he still alive? Why does the guy have, like, he got hit in the head with a fucking cleaver and he's still sitting there talking to us? Like, the guy's missing half his brain. What do you mean? I actually read another, they're just throwing every fan theory online. I mean, they've taken this movie and ran it over with theories, but Grand Moff Tarkin, the was he the from episode 4, I think, the general guy.
Yep.
That he was basically the Hux of the original trilogy, correct?
Yes.
When you think about it, they're like, oh, maybe it's him, you know, hiding in the shadows and getting his vengeance for the, I don't know, the way Vader treated them, or, you know, he had a love for the Empire. That's why he's so obsessed with bringing it back. And either way, whoever it is, I really don't think I can be upset about that. I think the biggest question after that movie is, who is Rey? We don't know. And there's several different, you know, several that you can say, oh, that's Obi-Wan's granddaughter. It's Luke's daughter, people are saying, or it's, she might not be related to anyone, which I'm fine with any three of those categories, really.
I really want it to be the Obi-Wan theory.
The granddaughter.
And they've hinted strongly towards that being what it is. Yeah. But I was having this conversation earlier. Star Wars is all about the Skywalker family and how they fucked up the universe.
Yeah.
The galaxy, actually. Yeah. So I feel like she almost has to be a Skywalker.
To just keep telling that story of, oh, they're back to screw up the galaxy again, folks.
I mean, that's been the story.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, you already have Kylo Ren, who is technically a Skywalker.
This is true, yeah. And he's messed some shit up, that's for sure.
So I don't know. I mean, I would like if she wasn't related to anybody.
Yeah, I think that's – a lot of the fans are saying that. They don't want to have any preconceived notions about her. Like, if she's supposed to be related to Obi-Wan, I think you'll have people like, oh, she's not acting how Obi-Wan would. You know, like, they'd be too judgmental about it. There are those scenes in the movie.
If she was just related to Mace Windu, that'd be awesome.
I don't know how that would happen, but yeah. I would just like to see Mace Windu show back up in the movie somehow.
I just want a Mace Windu solo movie.
Yeah, that's the only thing from the prequels I would be okay with.
Mostly because I just want a Samuel Jackson everything.
Yeah. That guy just plays the part. And did you go see The Hateful Eight? Because he was the best part of that. A lot of people are upset about it. They're like, oh, they're sitting in a room for 3 hours. But I mean, Samuel Jackson's amazing. So, okay. I think we basically butchered Star Wars for now. I'm sure we'll be talking about it some more in the upcoming podcast, just because how can you not? It's our religion right now.
Yeah. Let me ask you too. What are you thinking about Rogue One?
Oh, dude. Yes. What's not to like about that? I mean, how they stole the plans of the Death Star. I've heard that Darth Vader is going to make an appearance, obviously.
Which will be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, come on, more Vader. Like I should buy like 5 tickets ahead of time now. Whether they said that, Alan Tudyk, isn't it? And I love that guy. He hasn't acted in anything lately. It's kind of like he just did Firefly, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Did you see that movie with him?
I did.
It's fantastic. They're like these hillbillies stuck in the woods. And there's these like – it's basically like a Cabin in the Woods movie where these kids go vacation and all this crazy shit starts happening. Like they get murdered in these ridiculous ways and Alan Tudyk and this other guy show up. And they're basically like, oh, we're here to save you. And they don't believe them. They're like, you're these creepy hillbillies. You're the one killing us. And by the end of the movie, they're the ones that saved them. He's like, you know, they're missing teeth. And they're like, they keep putting them in situations where they come out of the cabin and they're like, you know, chopping up animal carcasses. So they think they're the serial killers. And it's a pretty fun movie. I think it was straight to Netflix, but it should be still be on there. But yeah, that guy is great. And also we get, his name escaping me right now. The villain from Casino Royale. He's Hannibal on TV. You know that actor?
I know the face. I don't think I know the name.
Yeah, he's that guy that's just always he's always a villain in movies and TV shows. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for it. What do you think about it?
I'm really excited because it's going to be that extended universe movie that I always kind of wanted, because there's really more to Star Wars, the universe that is, than just Jedis. And it looks like this movie is going to have very, almost no Jedi or Sith influence. It's just going to be about the Rebel pilots. And since Rogue Squadron was one of my favorite games growing up, I'm really excited to see those characters get a spotlight in mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much... there's so much that can be explored in the Star Wars universe, and the fact that they're, you know, they're investing all this time and money and they're giving us a Star Wars movie every year, like between the comic book movies, the Star Wars movies, I'm going to be happy throughout the year. It's like you get, it's just, you sit there and you're like, you're a kid again. It's too much fun.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's been everything I thought would never happen is happening.
You know,
all these Star Wars movies. Captain America is a major Hollywood movie now.
I know.
I still can't get over that. Like, when the first one came out, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even believe it was announced. Yeah. I remember those crappy TV movies that they made.
Oh, my God. Where he's like in a foam costume and...
Yeah, he has a motorcycle helmet and...
They were bad. Like, they were really bad.
This is my favorite character growing up, and I was like, nobody's ever going to know him. No one's ever going to respect him. It's just going to be...
Yep.
The character that I like.
And now it's not only a comic book movie, a superhero movie, whatever you want to call it. But we have amazing directors on these movies, but then we have people who are saying, oh, the score for that trailer and the score for that movie was amazing. Like, they're not only just taking into account the fact that, oh, it's an awesome comic book movie, and then you have so much time and effort put into the score, the music for the movie, you know, the cinematography. Marvel's really investing all their time. Same thing with DC. You know, they get all these big name directors that they've done great movies, and now they're doing superhero movies. It's a great time to be alive. I can't say that enough, and I hear people saying it all the time. It's a great time to be alive.
I keep pointing to the fact that Ant-Man was not only made, but was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Ant-Man, like. I remember before that trailer was even out, I'm like, they're making an Ant-Man movie, and people were like, that sounds dumb. They're like, is that like a Bug's Life? I'm like, no, he's a superhero.
The one I'm really happy about, and it's a character that I don't care for that much, but it's my father's favorite character, and it was one that he thought would never see the light of day. It was something he read him as a kid. And would never come back. And that's Doctor Strange.
I know. Holy shit, man. Did you see those pictures of
it's unbelievable. I remember I sent it to him, and my father's not a very emotional guy, but
yeah.
I started to see him kind of like break a little bit and go like, I can't believe that this is a thing that's happening.
Really? That had to be crazy. It's like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I got emotional during Star Wars, and I think we all did.
I mean, I'm not afraid to admit that I cried when...
I cried during the word crawl. I was sitting there opening night, the word crawl came up, like Lucasfilm, and I was like, okay, I think I'll be okay. The word crawl starts, I started bawling.
I couldn't stop smiling.
Mm-hmm.
I was so fucking happy.
I was smiling the whole time.
Especially, I was waiting so long since that announcement, like...
Yeah, we all came
off from work.
You had to prepare yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact, Doctor Strange, I mean, they're really digging deep here for Marvel lore and characters, and I think this is a good talk about Doctor Strange, and then we'll talk about Suicide Squad, because the next step for both of these, you know, these giant companies, Marvel and DC, the next step is to go on the magical universe, because, you know, someone's gotta do it first. It's gonna be, from what I've seen in the Suicide Squad trailer, it's gonna be DC. From Enchantress, we got Diablo spraying fire from his hands. I mean, yeah, we could say Scarlet Witch did it in the Avengers.
Technically,
but they said she was a mutant, right?
No, she was
a wonder,
modified genetically, because they can't use mutants in the Marvel.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, they modified, and they'll end up saying like the Inhumans are. I think the Inhumans are going to eventually replace them.
That's what they're trying to do.
But DC is really, like, in your face, like, magic everywhere. Let's talk about that new Suicide Squad trailer. I was blown away. I might be more excited. I would hate to say this because I'm such a huge Batman fan, but I might be more excited for the Suicide Squad movie than anything right now, because Batman's in it. I mean, I can't even say that. You know, Batman's not – he's in the trailer. He's on top of the Joker's – flamboyant Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I still don't know how I feel about that. Joker driving Lamborghini, but we'll see it when it happens. I'm not going to throw it up.
Driven some pretty stupid vehicles in his day.
he has. And I mean, it's almost like a head nod towards 60s Batman, like Cesar Romero style Joker. But I mean, I loved that new. You saw the new trailer, right?
I did.
And what did you think?
I'm going to be on the other side on you. I was kind of lukewarm on it.
Really? Okay.
I still really want to see this movie. I think it's. Uh-huh. I have the high expectations for it to be good.
Yeah.
But the past two trailers for it have come off kind of weird for me. I don't know what the movie is really trying to do. I don't know if it's trying to do a Deadpool thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is. I hold all judgments until I see the movie, but I'm still not sure how I feel about Harley Quinn and Joker.
Okay.
And honestly, we made the joke that you're, you know, DC drone. I'm kind of a Marvel zombie, so I don't know DC that well.
Yeah.
So I know some of these characters somewhat, mm-hmm. but I don't know them all that intimately like you do. So
yeah, I get that. I mean, I kind of feel the same way when I see, you know, I'll probably see the Doctor Strange trailer and I'll be like, wow, that's really cool. You know, I love Benedict Cumberbatch, but I'm not going to like freak out about it or be like, well, this is going to be, you know, movie of the year. But for Suicide Squad, for me right now, it's like, you know, I've read the original 80s Suicide Squad by Ostrander, which is fantastic. If anyone's looking to see what the type of tone this movie is going to set, it's straight from those comics. And I thought a funny thing in the trailer was we don't see Slipknot a whole lot. And, you know, they're the Suicide Squad, so we know someone's going to die. I wouldn't be surprised if we see 2 to 3 people die in this movie.
Well, the cartoon movie, they killed someone, like, within the first 10 minutes, was it?
Yeah, and that's the funny thing, that we don't see Slipknot because, I mean, we can start speculating on the movie now, but, I mean, the original 80s Suicide Squad, I remember seeing Slipknot for the first time, and I'm like, wow, this, you know, a new character introduced in this issue. Like, I wonder how cool his powers are going to be. Basically, it's like, you know, the Suicide Squad's going on a mission. They're going to rescue someone from a prison or blow up a prison. They're either rescuing someone from a prison or just blowing up a secret base. That seems to be like the only two missions they ever go on. But
pretty much
it's kind of like this issue where like, oh, where'd Slipknot come from? Where did he come from? And, you know, they kind of cut to him. And they have these almost like these bracelets on that are like tracking devices, but they warn him. Boomerang warns him earlier in the issue, hey, man, don't run away because these things will blow up. And he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I don't really believe that. And then, you know, Boomerang starts laughing about it. Like, yeah, like how much truth is there to that? These guys lie to us all the time. And so Slipknot ends up running away like halfway through the issue. He's running in the woods. And his arm gets blown off. Oh, the guy ties knots for a living. So it's like, well, there's the end of that character. He was in the Suicide Squad for a whole 10 minutes. Like, it's such a ridiculous character, too. Like, he fights with ropes. But I don't know. if we see a couple of those, I think I'll be happy because there's so much. I mean, look at Avengers 2. You have all these heroes. I guess we did spoilers for Avengers 2. Quicksilver dies, but... but I guess you get all these characters in
too.
Yeah, that too. But it's just, I mean, you get all these characters in a room, there's bombs being thrown at them, people shooting at them, and it's just, someone's got to die. And it's, you know, you're not supposed to be emotionally connected to these people because they're villains, but how can you not be when you have Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn and you have Jai Courtney as Boomerang, and he looks like he's going to kill it. Both of those characters are going to kill it. He looks hilarious.
I do really want Harley Quinn to be a big deal because I was a big fan of the DC, or I'm sorry, the Batman animated series from when we were younger.
We all were. That was our Harley Quinn, man.
Yeah, I loved Harley Quinn in that.
Yeah.
So I really want Harley Quinn to make it to the mainstream as a character in that movie. So I hope they do her justice and do a good job with her.
Yeah, and that's always my complaint. Like, the Harley Quinn books out now are just... I talk to people who are Harley Quinn fans. I'm like, do you read these? They go, no. And I go, I mean, I flipped through them, and I just, I don't know. It's just not there.
It's a Deadpool thing.
Yeah, it is a Deadpool thing. They want her to be Deadpool. And I'm glad they're not making, it doesn't seem to me like they're making her Deadpool in the trailer. And one more other thing I'll point out is, you'll see, I've watched the trailer at least 37 times today. This morning, I probably watched it 50 more times just before the podcast. But you'll see when they're fighting on the subway, you see almost like a really shiny monster thing that it's kind of like shooting plant matter at people. Common, the rapper/actor was confirmed for the movie as Tattooed Man, which I don't know if you know about Tattooed Man, but he makes the tattoos that are on him come to life. And he has like a dragon tattooed on his back or his chest, and he can like project them and make, you know, a giant dragon come out and attack people. It's pretty awesome. So if that's one of the scenes, I think that'll be fun to watch.
That's funny. I didn't know that character, but funny side story. I was playing the Marvel pen and paper RPG that they made in the 80s with some friends. And the character I ended up rolling had a suit of armor similar to Iron Man, just not as powerful. And then had all these little like decals on them that I can make come to life.
Oh, okay. So it's basically Tattooed Man with the suit of armor.
I had no idea what Tattooed Man was at the time. Yeah. And the joke constantly was that I was going to draw dicks all over my armor and then hit people with them.
And just hit people with them.
This is the kind of guy I am.
Iron Dick Man? I'd pay to see that movie. Although we did see Iron Dick Man, it was I'd call it Iron Man 3. Tony Stark just being depressed and mean.
Tony Stark, a little boy, hang out.
Yeah. Speaking of Harley Quinn being Deadpool, I am actually pumped for the Deadpool movie. What little I've read of Deadpool comics, I mean, I get the idea. He's fun. He's quirky, but he's quirky in like a raunchy kind of way. I don't know. From what I've seen, the marketing is perfect for this movie. You have that billboard. Did you see that billboard? I don't know. It was in like LA or somewhere where it was just, I don't know if it said dead, but it said it had a picture of poo and then an L on the end.
The skull emoji, the poo emoji, and then an L.
I was like, this is so, and then you have the, like, those romantic movie posters. Oh my God.
It's coming out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I've seen guys posting on the internet, like, you know, their chats with their girlfriends, like, hey, this movie's coming out on Valentine's Day. Do you want to go see it? And they'll send them a picture of that poster. And they're like, well, what's it about? It's like, oh, it's, you know, it's a romantic love story. And they're like, yeah, let's go see it. And like, they have no idea. Like, I mean, not a lot of people watch. I mean, I think our generation is kind of the stream online generation. So maybe, you know, they haven't seen a trailer for it yet or something, but it's going to be ridiculous. I don't know. I think Ryan Reynolds is embracing it.
I think I'm going to start with the positive. I think Ryan Reynolds is perfect for the role. I think the movie will be fantastic. It's 100% not for me.
You really?
I really like Joe Kelly's Deadpool in the 90s.
He was more serious, right?
He was less raunchy.
Okay.
It was more just kind of slapsticky humor.
Uh-huh.
And they've gone over the top in the recent years, in my opinion. So it doesn't suit what I want out of the character.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't really plan on going to see it. I'll probably catch it when it comes on Blu-ray and Reddit somewhere. But for those fans, it seems like it's exactly what they want and what they should be getting. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for them because I got my Captain America movies. I'm about to get my third one. So I'm all game for everybody getting exactly what they want.
I got mine, so I guess they can have their Deadpool. Like, I got my Captain America, and I'm getting my Batman, dude.
I'm also getting my Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, Batman. We're all getting our Dark Knight Returns Batman. And if you're listening to this and you've never read Dark Knight Returns, you just shut off your iPhone, whatever the hell you're listening to this on. You're probably not even, nobody's going to listen to this. Read The Dark Knight Returns. There's a book after it called The Dark Knight Strikes Back that nobody likes to admit about. But Dark Knight Returns is that turning point for Batman where people were just like, holy shit.
When's the last time you read Dark Knight Strikes Again?
It's funny you ask that. I just finished reading it last night. It took me a day because there's not a whole lot of dialogue and there's not a whole lot of art to look at either.
That book is a lot of slack for being this like awful thing. Mm-hmm. I reread it recently before Master Race came out.
Yeah.
And I found myself somewhat enjoying it. Like it's not a perfect book. It's not a great book, but it's not terrible.
And I have to agree with you on that. I was reading through it again and all the shit we talk about it, the art being awful. I really can't. I mean, obviously it's better than I can do. What the hell can I draw? What the hell can I write? You know what I mean? That's like, we're sitting here like bashing Frank Miller for it, but the guy's what? He's got to be in his 80s, late 70s now, and he's still cranking out stories about Batman. So it's like, but I get that. No, I went back and read it because of Dark Knight 3, Master Race is out, and
there's a lot of ties in 3 to that.
There is, and I'm glad that I went back and read it. It's not as bad as I thought, and I like the incorporation of all the other characters, like Flash. Completely forgot Flash was in it. Completely forgot that Adam had such a huge role in it. The fact that they had Flash trapped in like a pod, using him to power some type of nuclear reactor, that was fantastic. Like they crack it open, and there's some guy sitting there, and everybody's like, "Who is that?" And it's the Flash. Like, that's awesome.
There's a lot of great ideas in that book.
Yeah, there are.
They just weren't executed very well.
Yeah. Yeah, and the art could use some help too.
He was definitely changing as a cartoonist, so it's tough, but
yeah. Plus those deadlines they have to reach and stuff. Speaking of art, Greg Capullo is leaving Batman.
Don't tell me things like this.
We'll bring it up later, but he's going to be leaving. So we talked about Deadpool, Batman versus Superman. That movie's just—it's funny. So all the DC shows started back up. Well, all of them except Gotham, and I think Supergirl wasn't new this week either. But we got Flash, we got DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Hell yeah, that show was awesome. And Arrow.
Which I was looking at the ad in the new issue of Batman. I'm not caught up on these shows at all.
Yeah.
So is Flash and Arrow aren't in Legends of Tomorrow?
No, they're not. Nope.
I thought they were.
No, man. And I'm not going to spoil it too much. But spoilers just in case. You're going to find out why they aren't really in it. They're traveling through time, so there's only so much they can do with the time stream, you know, affecting the timeline, not creating paradoxes. But you don't even realize it. I mean, it's got all the fun of Flash. It's got all the seriousness of Arrow. But quick before I talk about the show, my mom recently got an iPhone, so she's in a group chat now with my sister and I, obviously. So now she can talk to both of us at once.
How lucky you.
She and I told her, I go, hey, she started watching Supergirl, which is awesome because I'm not talking to my mom about Supergirl. She loves Supergirl, so I said, hey, go, hey, check out DC Legends of Tomorrow tonight. She checked it out, she thought it was good, and then she goes, hey, there's this trailer for Batman vs. Superman. I don't know if you've seen it yet. And I'm like, it's funny, I've seen them all 1,000 times. But then she goes on to text my sister and I, and she goes, she quotes the trailer and goes, "Do you bleed?" And I was like, oh my god. And my sister in the group chat, like, did you just witness this? Like, our mom just quoted Batman from the newest trailer. I'm like, she kind of wins some points there because that was pretty awesome. I'm like, the fact that, you know, they got her quoting Batman, I'm like, I'm on board for all these movies. And I'm really excited for Batfleck. He got a lot of shit at first. But he looks good, man. He's jacked. He's huge. He's the height that Batman should be. He's just good.
There was this thing I read, it was a long time ago, but the theory that this person threw out was that to be a good Batman actor, you don't really need to be a good Batman, you need to be a good Bruce Wayne.
That's the problem.
You're spending all your time as Bruce Wayne, And then some stunt double is going to be Batman for 90% of the time because they're doing all the fighting and whatnot.
Yeah, I get that.
He is a perfect Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, those smirks he has, the smirk he has in the trailer, like, what is your view on the Bat-Vigilante? He just gives that smirk of, like, that is Bruce Wayne. That cocky son of a bitch. That is my Bruce Wayne. I'm excited. I mean, you know, Lex Luthor's a little over the top. We got to see Doomsday a little too early, some people think. But, I mean, you get these guys in all their interviews, like Zack Snyder saying, that's not even the third act. Like, you guys are complaining about something you have no idea about. This movie is, you know, over 2.5 hours long. You've seen 2.5 minutes of it. Just wait. Pay your money to see the movie. Go see the movie. Don't complain about the trailer yet. And I agree, but I mean, I'm not going to complain about getting to see more of the movie in a trailer. That's just how I am. I'm like, we're not all villains. I don't give a shit, you know?
I could care either way, or care less either way. Yeah. But if he is the third act, I don't care. It's just got to be a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, good movie can outdo a good trailer.
It can.
Put too much into it.
Yeah. Did you see the Wonder Woman footage yet?
I didn't. I didn't even know there was Wonder Woman footage.
Yeah, they did that whole something. They hold that DC special, like we're back in the '80s or something, where they're like, "Come on and watch, kids. We're having a DC special." Yeah, and like everybody tunes in. And they talked about the movies. Dude, it was Kevin Smith and Geoff Johns talking about DC. And
how did I not watch this?
I know. The one thing I found out is Geoff Johns has a huge head.
Like,
the guy's a melon head. But he was like bringing out props from the movie.
It's so big for all those great story ideas he has.
I know, he's got to like hold all the DC universe knowledge inside his brain.
It's all those leftover Booster Gold issues.
That's probably it. Hey man, I read those Booster Gold issues. They were great.
I hear they're really good.
They are really good. But the fact that we're, you know, we're in an age where they have a DC special for an hour. They're just talking. They're not even showing the shows. They show a little bit of the movies, but they're just talking. There's two guys standing there talking like, hey, check this out. You know, this is coming out in a year from now, but like, you're going to tune in and watch us talk about it like a couple assholes right now. it's saturated right now, and it's people are embracing it, but they did show some Wonder Woman footage. And it was pretty awesome. We got it. They showed like her in the costume for maybe half a second doing some like backwards karate move kick thing, fighting a room full of guys. And it just looked awesome.
Do you have an idea of when the movie's taking place? Because I keep hearing World War I.
I believe World War II.
Maybe it's World War II I'm hearing.
Yeah, and that is. And, you know, they're all sitting there, like Steve Trevor, Chris Pine is sitting down talking about it. And yeah, it's mostly her back in the day, but it's weird because they show her in the old timey version, but she's still got her sword and shield. So it's like more about how we need help during the war, but the Amazons don't want to help us because they're like, men did this to themselves, so they don't deserve our help. But then you have Wonder Woman who's kind of torn between, you know, the Amazons and helping us. So she kind of feels obligated to try to show us how to be good. I don't know. It's pretty awesome because you get to see both of these worlds and her struggle between them. Like, it's not just her fighting things. It's also her fighting in between these two societies, if that makes sense.
So there's going to be a whole movie about the intro theme song to the Wonder Woman TV show from the 70s.
Doom, 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 Wonder Woman! I hope, if they played that for an hour and a half, I'd pay to go see that. If it was her just spinning around for an hour and a half and that music,
ding.
Yeah, blocking things with her her armbands.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to see her punch a tank. If she doesn't punch a tank, I want my money back.
They need to recreate that scene from the really bad Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Where she just takes the barrel of the tank and then just rips it off and beats somebody with it.
Swinging around like a baseball bat. Yeah. But I remember the original Wonder Woman, a tank, I think I remember a scene where a tank shoots at her. I don't know if she like bounces the bullet back or something ridiculous like that, or bends the front of the, we need to see something with a tank, like make it happen. I want to see it. I mean, you guys got such a huge CGI budget. Talking about huge CGI budgets, I will talk about Legends of Tomorrow. That CGI budget was through the roof because between the Atom shrinking, and we see him like flying through circuit boards and shit, and then we get obviously like Hawkman and Hawkgirl flying around, but then we get the time machine, which is it's called the Wave Rider. This giant ship, which is, I mean, it's like, it's going to be, I think, as this show keeps going on, it's going to be iconic as, like, the Enterprise or, you know, like, the Millennium Falcon. It's a huge ship, and it has perfectly lined 8 seats, so you can see everybody, of course, while they're sitting there flying through the time stream, you know, doing whatever. But the amount of CGI in that show is just ridiculous, and it's like DC is really putting all their money into it.
So I like that. I read that they're going to introduce Old West.
Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex, thank you.
Yeah, man.
And I've liked what I've read of Jonah Hex. I think he's an interesting character.
He is.
I also like the idea that they're going to just introduce random characters throughout the show as a test bed to see if people like them.
Oh, yeah, dude. And this is the place to do it. I mean, we already got to see Kronos the first episode. And we get to see Kronos, and he's not wearing a cape with like a clock around his neck like the cheesy 70s Kronos, you know. He's basically dressed like Boba Fett, and they actually make some Star Wars jokes at him, which is pretty awesome. Whenever you get a DC movie that's making Star Wars jokes about some of their characters, I just like, you just take all my money. I was throwing it at the TV. Like,
well, unfortunately they can't always do the, you know, the costumes for the comics on screen.
Yeah.
Although I still fight for Hawkeye should have a giant H on his forehead. I don't give a fuck if it looks dumb. I want a giant H on his forehead.
He really should, though. They really messed up. And I agree with that. You're probably a little more upset about it than I am, but there's a point where they just can't do the cheesy costumes anymore. But I mean, you go to Daredevil. If you look at the Daredevil costume from the show, the TV show, it's good. But I mean, the top part of the face mask, where it's like, I think it's like a blackened part, mm-hmm. all it reminded me of was 60s Batman. That's all I got. If you look at that costume again, and you look at the Batman, the 60s Batman costume, Adam West, it just, when he stands up, I just started burst out laughing. So I'm like, it was like the da-da-da-da. When he stood up, that's all I heard.
Very helmet like. It reminds me a lot of, they did the same thing with Captain America, and it looks kind of dumb, but I love it.
I mean, you got like an 8-foot tall kingpin punching you in the face. You're gonna want to be wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
So I guess it's practical. Yeah. As far as Flash and Arrow go, they're fantastic as usual. I go to Flash for all my comic book tongue-in-cheek goodness, and then I go to Arrow to be a little more sad about things. From that excitement.
I recently, and by recently I mean Black Friday, bought season 2 and 3 of Arrow and then 1 of Flash because I want to get caught up. Uh-huh. And I've just this week started watching season 2 of Arrow, and I'm back hooked on it. It's,
yeah,
and I couldn't believe when they introduced League of Assassins.
Oh, just wait, man. You're going to get it all. If you think you know what's coming, yeah, it's coming. I mean, that's the point where they start, like, maybe if we start incorporating things from comics, people will like us. And that's where it really takes off. Oh, yeah.
The scene where they've introduced Jason Blood proper as Brother Blood.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
You'd be like, Brother Blood, the Teen Titans villain? Like,
I know, that makes perfect sense, but I didn't think they would do it. I just thought they were using the name for funsies.
Yeah. Oh, no, they did it, man. They were like, screw it, we're just going to go hard with this character. And then that was the point, I think, in season 3 is when Flash, the ideas for Flash start up, where they're like, wow, we can put people in costumes and these people eat it up. And we did, man.
Flash. Didn't they introduce Barry Allen in season 2 of Arrow?
Was it season 2? I can't remember.
I mean, they haven't yet where I am, but they've Star Labs, and they've talked about the
It might be towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think
season 3 went along with
season 1. Season 3 goes along with season 1. Yeah, you're correct. Okay. But just
the order I'm watching them in, so I really hope I'm right on that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I lost track. But dude, you think you've seen it all with Flash, but it's like they just introduce characters left and right. Like there's one episode, I can say this because you won't remember, but spoilers for season 2 of Flash, the beginning of season 2, where someone mentions, oh, there's a half man, half shark attacking the city. I don't remember what is going on during this episode, but we're not even close to having a king shark on the episode. Something else is happening with either Reverse Flash or Zoom. I'm pretty sure it's Zoom. And I'm like, we have so much comic book shit going on right now. Like, there's no way they're going to show me King Shark. Well, last 2 or 3 minutes of the episode, out comes a fucking King Shark. And he is a King Shark, man. He's all CGI'd, but he looks awesome. And he just grabs Flash. And I'm just like, I had to shed a tear because I had the first appearance of King Shark. It's like the cover of the book is Superboy, like 90s angsty teen Superboy punching King Shark in the face on the cover. Like, I remember the issue, plain as day. He goes to the beach to check out some babes because that's what he did in the 90s. That's what he did. Superboy with his shaved, like, half his head is shaved with his leather jacket. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go check some babes out at the beach. And then he runs into King Shark and he's got to beat the crap out of him. But here I'm seeing it on TV and people are accepting it. They're not even, I mean, people aren't even comic book fans. They're just like, oh my God, that's a half shark, half man. Wow, that's very good, very good. I like it. Yes, give me more. And he's coming back. They're bringing him back. Ugh.
I remember hearing on the Fat Man on Batman podcast that happened, and that's what got Kevin Smith in The Flash. And yeah. I went online and saw the pictures like a king fucking shark. They actually did it.
They did it, man. Like that has to be a milestone. Like I thought it was going to end with Gorilla Grodd. Like when Gorilla Grodd talks, I was just – I
sent you that picture of Batman a while back. I've been reading because this is how little of a DC fan I am. My favorite DC character is Aquaman.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You're wrong all right there. We won't even start.
I've been reading a lot of Aquaman, and that's the picture I sent you is from the new run where six villains go to fight Aquaman, and one of them is King Shark. Hunts him down, and that's when Batman rides in on a fucking dinosaur and just starts killing people. Or not killing people, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's knocking them out, breaking their legs. What Batman does best.
So yeah, like ridiculous ass characters on TV. I love it.
And it's they know their fan base. They know they can do it. That's why I think DC is really going ahead with all these. Like that, I think because of Arrow, because of The Flash, we would have never seen a Suicide Squad movie if it wasn't for these shows.
Oh, no, not at all.
And that's, I mean, there's always so much I can say about the shows. Like, Reverse Flash comes back, this episode of Flash. Like, not only do we have Zoom, but we have Reverse Flash now. Like holy shit, man, we're going to have, upcoming, there better be a scene. Or, I mean, it's not like I'm going to stop watching the show. I'll always watch the show. Like, they could have, like, old man Flash playing checkers against, like, you know, Jay Garrick, and I'll still watch the Flash show. It's not like I'm going to – but you can – I mean, they're going to have Reverse Flash, Zoom, and Flash all in a room together. I don't know what they're going to be doing. They'll probably be trying to punch each other or something, but, like, we're going to see all of them in all three suits. It's just too good.
I really hope because I heard, like – I mean, I keep talking about Kevin Smith, but
yeah.
I heard that Kevin Smith's doing an episode. He's going to direct one. And yeah, I really hope the whole episode. I really hope the whole episode is just Captain Cold, Grodd, one of the Reverse Flashes, King Shark, all these ridiculous characters sitting around talking about Star Wars and pussy.
that'll probably be it.
I want a huge CG budget spent on Grodd and King Shark talking to each other about ridiculous shit.
Dude, I want to see them. I want it like the what is the episode of? Remember the episode of Batman the Animated Series POV, where we have all the villains are sitting around together in this room talking about the one time they almost caught the Batman.
Oh yeah,
they all have those separate stories. That's what I want. I want all of them sitting around a table, like, playing cards or some shit, like, oh, yeah, I almost caught the Flash once, and this is how he screwed me over. Like, you know, you get, like, 10-minute intervals of them, like, getting their asses handed to him by Flash. That's what I want to see, but we'll see. I mean, he's a fan. He's already said he's not going to mess it up, but it's good. The shows are good. I've still yet to start watching any of the Marvel shows. I don't know if you do, though. Are you still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I am. I really like it.
It's good?
Yeah.
My first
season starts off really slow.
Yeah.
And they don't find their identity until about halfway through.
That's where I stopped watching.
Okay. By the second half of the season, basically once Winter Soldier happens, mm-hmm. the show gets really good. And then the last episode actually has like one of those moments that I'm talking about where it's Agent Coulson
uh-huh.
and Nick Fury sitting there basically commentating on this fight between the big supervillain and yeah. one of the heroes. And it's them just like bullshitting and saying like random one-liners, and it's hilarious.
Okay, I'd probably be on board to watch that.
I mean, I think that show's really good. Uh-huh. It also, like we were saying earlier, like, you know, how Suicide Squad is kind of a harder sell for me because I'm not as big a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Marvel fan, so you put Marvel in front of anything, it's going to be an immediate draw for me.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been okay with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if they just put someone in a friggin' cape or put them in a mask, like...
Which they start doing in the second
yeah,
season.
That's what I've heard. So maybe I'll try to get back into it. And what about, what is that other one? Agent Peggy Sue or?
Peggy Carter.
Peggy Carter, yeah, that's it. Yeah, what about that?
I haven't watched it yet, to be honest. I hope to soon because I love Peggy Carter as a character.
Yeah.
It's another Captain America character, you know, so.
I mean, what's not to like with you? I mean, it's Captain America.
It's an interesting, strong, female-led character mm-hmm. show. And, I mean, let's be honest, she's hot, too.
Yeah, she is pretty good-looking.
But
yeah,
she's a good, dynamic, and strong female lead, too, which yeah. I like. So,
yeah, man, and it's crazy. We're finally getting it. We're getting those strong – I mean, Wonder Woman's happening. Like, she's the strongest female I know. Out of any yeah. publications ever, man.
I mean, Captain Marvel on the Marvel side.
Yeah.
That's her.
Up until then, all I knew was, like, Hermione Granger, and she wasn't even a main character. I mean,
oh,
she was...
Hermione.
Yeah, she was, like, a side character. But, I mean, like, this is great. We're getting it all. I mean, and we have... how many... I was counting it in Suicide Squad. We have three female lead characters in Suicide Squad, which is awesome. We got Enchantress. Team. Oh yeah, and what's yeah, Deadshot,
the Fresh Prince himself.
Yeah, I didn't bring that up earlier, but I mean, it's not even I get it. Like, you know, you want a big name in there, but all Will Smith really delivers that movie for me is just he's Will Smith. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in the trailer, he's like, so we're just a Suicide Squad. And I'm like, that's just Will Smith. Like, that was him. That was him when his agent called him. And it was like, hey, man, I want you in the Suicide Squad movie. And the phone call was just like, ah, oh, so it's like a Suicide Squad. And they just added that to the trailer. Like, that's all that conversation was. But Enchantress is OP. She is awesome. She's one of my favorite characters.
And I like that they're treating these characters smartly, too, because a lot of Suicide Squad characters, female and male, aren't fitting for lead roles.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, they do the same thing in Avengers. Some of those characters deserve lead roles, but the Hulk doesn't really deserve a lead role.
Yeah.
Black Widow isn't interesting enough to go on with the lead role movie.
They can make it work, though. I think they can make it work.
They could. I mean, they're solo comics of all these characters.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
nothing that would make, like, $400 million.
Yeah, and I just think that these characters, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Hulk, so on and so forth, they're just more interesting as a group dynamic. They're tougher to get across solo.
You get those one-liners in between characters and stuff. Yeah, I get that. It's like we'll never see a standalone Captain Boomerang movie, but I mean, I can't say that because who knows? 2 years from now, we could be talking about a standalone Captain Boomerang movie. Like,
I don't want a standalone Captain Boomerang movie, but I do want. Oh, you're talking about the DC Captain Boomerang. I was just saying, there was a book called Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yep, I used to read that. That was one of the Marvel books that I had read.
Okay, yeah, because I want that movie.
You want to,
That
so
MODOK's
basically, to spell this out for
alive as
everyone,
well. I want
yeah,
those.
I've heard about that. But basically, Superior Foes of Spider-Man was the only reason I read it was because it wasn't actually a Spider-Man book, but it was a bunch of the foes of Spider-Man sitting around talking about, or they were talking about Spider-Man, right? And they would
Yeah.
go out and. Like one, I remember in one issue, one guy had to go get cat litter because his wife was like, "Hey, you need to pick up cat litter on your way home." But he's like still in his costume. It was pretty great to see those characters in those. But speaking of comics, let's talk about some of the news about that. You want to talk about? I mean, you're the Captain America fan, so I think you should spill this one on us. What do you want to tell us about Captain America?
Well, I mean, Marvel just ended their big event for Secret Wars, and their new universe has been revealed to us. So we're going forward with that. And in this new universe, there's like any, Marvel, anything, they're doing event after event. So they're doing a mini event, kind of in the way that DC does theirs, called Assault on Pleasant Hill. And they're doing it in a style where there's a alpha issue and a beta issue. I think I got that right. And then
Alpha or
there's gonna cross over through a bunch of books.
Alpha and Omega, you mean, or Beta?
Omega, that's what I was looking for.
Omega, yeah.
They did the same thing with Robin Rises recently.
Yeah, they did that with DC too.
Yeah, DC does it a lot. And in this series, Captain America is going to become, well, I'm sorry, Steve Rogers is going to become Captain America again. Steve Rogers has been an old man for about a year or two now, who had the super soldiers taken from his body. So somehow he's going to get it back. He's going to come back as Captain America. Now, he's going to have his own book, and he's going to have a brand new shield and all this. And then Sam Wilson will also be Captain America, and he will have the original shield and do his thing on the side. So basically, I'm just excited that we're getting Steve Rogers back.
I think you're gonna
Because
have
Steve
two
Rogers
Captain Americas
is
though.
Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of backlash for switching over Captain Americas like that.
There always is.
Obviously, a lot of people were upset because it was a black character. But
But it was, I mean, it's the character deserves it. I mean, Sam
yeah.
Wilson's one of the best, if not the best, sidekicks for Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
He deserves
this
it. I
all
mean,
leads.
Bucky took up the mantle for a while, correct? Like, why doesn't Sam deserve a shot?
Yeah, and Bucky honestly didn't deserve it.
Yeah, he's just a whiny brat, if anything.
I mean, I like those issues. I like that storyline, but he didn't deserve it at the time. That was Iron Man being an idiot. But this all leads up to they're doing Civil War II, which, I mean, obviously, this all ties into the movies. Captain America's getting his own movie soon, so they want Steve back in the suit. That movie is called Civil War, so the next big event is going to be Civil War II.
Obviously.
They're
That's
not
exciting though.
subtle.
Yeah, I mean I read Civil War. I might actually read that. I don't know if I'll pay to read it, but I might find it somewhere online and read it. But that's exciting though. I mean, we're getting Steve Rogers back. That's awesome. I mean, it's gonna bring I know they lost some people on that book
Mean,
recently.
yeah, you lose in game people here and there, but for
Yeah.
me, I'm excited that I'm getting two Captain America books now.
Yeah, there you go. That's
So.
something to be said. I mean, out of Marvel, I think Spider-Man is the one that always has like 6 to 8 books every
Yeah.
month. But not to say
Or
that,
X-Men, who have like
yeah,
20.
X-Men. Yeah, like X-Men Academy, X-Men, whatever. Apocalypse, they're doing that for Secret Wars. But I mean, when you talk about like Steve Rogers and Captain America, now he's getting 2 books. That's awesome. Good for him. He deserves it.
It does.
He's the American hero. So another big a big thing in comic book news today was the relaunching of DC's titles. Oh man, holy shit, we're getting another reboot. Here we go. So New 52 started back, oh man, I think 5 years ago now. The all new 52 books where DC
was. Was it really 5 years ago?
I think so. 2011, I think. Yeah, 2011, 2012. If not five.
Getting old.
I know, right? It seems like yesterday. And that's honestly, that's what got me back into comics. I remember going to a comic shop and I'm like, hey, I heard Walking Dead's a comic. And the guy behind the counter was like, yeah, man, it's a comic. And then I look over because, you know, that's what every comic book shop owner sounds like. Yeah, man, we got this, we got that. Don't tell Craig I said that. But yeah, we got Walking Dead over the corner there. So I go over the corner, I look at Walking Dead, and I see a Batman comic sitting on a table there. There's one left. It's a Batman comic. It's Greg Capullo art. That first issue, I can see it plain as day because I have it. I just got it signed by Greg Capullo a couple months ago. But I see it. It's like him fighting a bunch of goons on the front, and there's a giant-ass number one on it. And I remember turning to the guy going, hey, man, they still make Batman comics? He goes, yeah, what do you mean? He was so insulted. He's like, what do you mean? They've been making Batman comics. They never stopped. Like, who are you freaking kid? Get your Walking Dead and get out of here. So I picked up the issue. I picked up, I think, like a few of the issues were out since I picked up as many as I could. I started reading them, like, and that was when Scott Snyder was starting to make a name for himself. I'm like, holy shit, this is good, man. And the art is amazing. I couldn't get enough of it. And now here we are 4 or 5 years later, the new 52. So the new 52 was just a relaunch of all the books. To start fresh, and it worked. It worked on me. It worked on a bunch of people to get them back into it. It didn't work for the people that wanted, you know, the original characters back, pre-Flashpoint, which, I mean, I get it. You have the thing that you like, and you won't buy the book anymore because, oh, they're ruining my book.
They gotta evolve over the time, so.
Yeah, they have to. And, I mean, I'm gonna... I can't really complain because I know they're not going to cancel Batman. Batman will never get canceled. It's like the number one – every week it comes out, it's the number one seller.
Yeah.
But whether it's – they're going to end it at issue 50, whether it has an issue 50 on it, whether it has a 51 or it has a number one, I'm still going to buy it. Whether it's Scott Snyder's name, whether it's someone else's name, I really don't care. It's got Batman on it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to give the guy a shot. I know a lot of books are getting canceled, though, which a lot of people aren't going to be happy about. The ones that we can be sure are going to stay on for the roster are the ones that are closer to the movies. So what they also announced, they're rebooting the books, but they said that we're going to get more titles that are movie-heavy and TV show-heavy. So we're going to see more Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Flash. We'll probably see more Green Arrow. But, I mean, they're going to try to saturate because they know that's what sells, so they're just going to make as many books as they can, which that could help or hurt them, really. Because then they start, you know, trying to make a book about everything, and then you lose the touch of the character. But, you know, I can't complain about more Batman when it comes down
to it. Yeah, I wasn't a big DC guy before New 52. I read almost no DC before New 52.
Uh-huh.
And then... Our local comic shop was so excited about it. I started looking into it, and I was just like, well, what are the books I should try out? And he goes, you know, you would like – I mean, I always liked Batman, so I picked up Batman. That was the only book pre-New 52 I had picked up. And he goes, you would like Aquaman. I think you would like Justice League. And there were a few others. So Jeff I tried Johns a bunch of stuff.
Was Jeff Johns writing both of those at the time?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why you would like – anyways, keep going.
Yeah, and Green Lantern, which he was also writing.
Yeah, he was writing them all, man. He like, kept them alive, really.
So yeah. I picked up a bunch of books. I liked a bunch of them, and I didn't like other ones, just like anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, OMAC was a one I really liked that came out of that got canceled pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't think anyone – you might have been the only one to read that book.
I don't think I was, but I love that book. And it got me into DC, where I was pretty much strictly a Marvel guy before that, and, you know, my independent stuff. But it worked. It really did. And if they reboot, they reboot. I mean, I don't – as long as the stories are good, that's all I care about.
Yeah,
I'm not as into DC continuity as I am Marvel continuity, mm-hmm. so it doesn't bother me either way.
I mean, I've given up on my DC continuity for a while. I mean, I take the stories for what they are. Speaking of stories, I mean, you and I, we both get comics. I mean, if anyone listening isn't into comics, they come out weekly. There's new comics every Wednesday. And Chris and I are victims of spending lots of money on those comic books.
Yeah. Victims is the right word.
Yeah, it's the perfect word for that. It's my bank account gets lower, and I'm running out of room in my apartment for all these things. But
yeah, you can all see behind me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. But so Batman 48, I think out of my books this week, Batman 48 probably is my favorite comic of the week. And that's, I mean, it's hard for me to pick another favorite comic book of the week when I have Batman in a book and Scott Snyder's writing it, Greg Capullo's drawing it.
Big tag for spoilers ahead of this. We're going to spoil the crap out of these books.
Yeah. Spoilers. If you haven't read Batman 48, then you end it now or skip ahead of the podcast. Actually, just turn us off because we'll probably be talking about it to the end of it. But anyways, dude, when they first showed Bloom, I didn't give a shit about that villain. I'm like, dude, the guy's got a flower on his face. Like, what's the worst he's going to do? Then we cut to the panel today where the guy gets – or not today. It came out, what, Wednesday?
Yeah.
I read it today. The guy gets stabbed through the back of his head with one of Bloom's fingers. I'm like, this is awesome, man. This is why – I mean, you're going to argue this, but this is why I like DC more than Marvel, because they're just like – they're not going to, like, you know, pan away from that panel and be like, oh – you guys could assume he got stabbed through the head. DC is just like, fuck it, we're going to show he got stabbed through the back of his head. And there's going to be blood squirting on the back because we don't give a shit. You know, and I it's awesome. I mean, that's not the reason I love that book. It's because, like, there's still so much I don't know about this villain Bloom, and they just, every issue, something, you learn something new about him, but you still don't know anything about the guy. Like, we know he can grow the size of a skyscraper. He's been infecting other people, and they turn into him when they you know, take one of his seeds, and he's been around. He's been in Gotham since the old times. It's just – and this is a brand-new character we've never seen. And my biggest complaint – I mean, I'll complain, but I still buy the friggin' books – is that, you know, they'll always use Joker. They'll always use Riddler for a story arc. And it's like, you know, these characters are great, but you get the – you know, it's monotonous after a while. But then we get this brand new character where it's like, I don't know what the hell he's going to do next, you know? And that's my favorite part about it. It's like, I go in blind and I love it.
I love that too. And it's why I like a lot of independent superhero books now, is that I have no clue who this character is. Mm-hmm. I have no clue what he's capable of. And he creeps the hell out of me. Every issue I've read with him, it's been, what, 8 issues with him in it now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More and more creepy every time, and this one brought it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, dude, I want you to look at flowers the same. Never.
The whole back and forth with Bruce Wayne and whoever that guy is at the bench.
Yeah,
I mean, we're led to believe it's Joker.
Yeah, and I mean, how could you not? You know.
Yeah, they point to it the whole issue.
Yeah,
but that whole back and forth is really interesting, and then the ending where he just walks in and asks, you know, where's
the Batcave? Show me to the Batcave.
Yeah, like something like that. I just read it like an hour ago and I can't remember.
Yeah.
That got me right there. I was like, oh, he's back. Yeah. Dude, Jim Gordon was cool, but I mean, it's not.
Yeah, nice. Jim Gordon is cool. They shaved his head to make him look younger, but come on, give Bruce the cowl. And I forgot to mention, During that issue, we saw a guy get stabbed through the back of the head. But so Bruce is working in an orphanage right now. He's helping out. He doesn't want to be Batman. He doesn't believe that he was ever Batman. Some friggin' girl gets a hold of one of those seeds, and she's a girl in the orphanage, so she's got to be, what, like 10 to 12 years old.
Oh,
takes
yeah.
a seed, and her head blows up. Like, I don't know if it was her head or her body. So the girl blows up, and there's blood everywhere. And then that last panel...
Not to mention that the way you inject the seed is by cutting open your wrist and sticking it into your bloodstream.
Yeah,
that showed her with her wrist cut open.
I know, and she was done for. It just made her explode. And the next scene where Batman's just like, the one thing to turn him to become Batman again was just like, you know, this, I just saw like a 10-year-old girl explode in front of me. Like, give me the fucking bat suit. I gotta go punch people in the face. Like, so, let's go.
And now I'm excited for the next issue because it's going to be Bruce Wayne is Batman, assuming he's going to be back or on his way to being back.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're going to save that for 50.
You know what else we're going to see?
There's going to be an army of mech suit Batman.
Yes. Batman
coming from Bloom, which will be awesome. I mean, there's no way it's not.
Yeah. I'm very excited for that. You know, I was going to mention that. I'm like, we have to see the mech suit army of Batman fighting, you know, the Bloom guys. But it's so good. And it's a shame that, you know, Capullo is going to be leaving at 50. I knew this ahead of time, man. I knew this, like, back in issue 40, when I saw him on Batman Day, he said it to me. He goes, listen, I'm going to go to switch to Image Comics for a while. Because anything Mark Miller writes becomes a movie. He's not wrong. Anything Mark Miller writes, it's a movie. Yeah. And he goes, it's honestly where he can make the most money. And I go, hey, man, at least you're honest about it. He's like, yeah, I got to put my kids through college, you know. And if he comes back to Batman after a while, hey, more power to him. But it's been an amazing run with him. So,
well, I listened to an interview with him where he was pretty open with the fact that, I mean, he worked for Image forever on Spawn.
Yeah.
And when he came, he basically said, like, I'm ready to sell out. Like, I have kids. Like, I need to start making money off this. I mean, more than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the reason he came to DC. And now it's funny that he's pseudo leaving DC to go back to Image because he can make more money doing that.
Yeah,
it's a funny twist of events there.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird how it's happening. And he started off at Marvel. That's where he started.
Did he?
Yeah, doing what is that? Like X-Force. I'm gonna screw up that info, but it was one of those books. It might have been X-Force.
Yeah, there was something X-Men title. I don't know because I don't really follow X-Men.
It was X-Force, and then something before that was one of his original books. I can't remember the name now, but. Yeah, so that was my favorite book. And also, Nowhere Men came back this week. Nowhere Men number 7. And Nowhere Men, I've been waiting for to continue since... God, that book started in 2012.
When did we meet the artist? Was that last summer?
Chris and I had gone to Hartford Comic Con last summer in New Hartford, Connecticut. And we met the artist for Nowhere Men for Image Comics. If you never looked up that series, look it up. It's amazing. The art is amazing. We met the artist, and I got this really sad story how he became depressed. He broke down. He had to leave the book because he was, you know, anxiety issues, stuff like that. But they had made this – it was just right at issue 6. So they already made this amazing universe with these amazing characters. It's a science fiction, you know, these – it's almost like a Manhattan Project kind of story where these, you know, these four giant scientists come together, these big brains, and they, you know, they push the boundary of what's ethical, what's not ethical. And then we get, you know, them experimenting on people, this virus breaks out, and then the issues kind of end because Nate was going through some issues. He couldn't draw the issues anymore. He had too much pressure on him. So they finally got an artist. It's got to be at least 2 years later that I'm finally getting this issue, and it's good to be back, man. It's good. It picks up right where left off, and it's amazing. If there wasn't a Batman book this week, this would have taken the best for the week. But it's just I mean, you're always going to lose to Batman in my mind. I can't. I can't pick this over Batman. It's still a really good series.
So for my favorite, I went with a little book called I Hate Fairyland.
Is there another alternate title for that too? I've seen.
Fuck Fairyland.
Yeah, I've seen that cover. It's the same book, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's a Scotty Young book. He wanted to call it Fuck Fairyland, but Image was kind of like, you should think about that because it's going to be hard to market Fuck Fairyland.
Yeah, I mean, some people will buy a comic because it says fuck on the front, but there's a lot of people that won't.
Yeah, and I mean, he does variant issues where it says Fuck Fairyland on it.
Yeah,
so you can buy that version. Yeah. It's a really fun book. I mean, it's basically what if a little girl was brought to Fairyland, put on a quest, every little girl's dream, essentially. But then she never completes it, and she's stuck there for 27 years.
Oh, wow.
And she ages in her mind, but her body stays as a little girl. Well, eventually starts going insane and just starts killing everything and drinking heavily. And she's just a terrible human being.
Really? That sounds pretty good.
It's really good. I mean, it's on issue 4 now, so I'm thinking by the next issue we'll see a trade come out. And Image is good about putting their volume 1 trades out for $10.
Yeah, I might have to pick it up then.
I really recommend it. I love Scotty Young's art. I mean, he's just
He is pretty good
style, and it's great. All the curse words are like not censored, but they're made to fit with the universe. So instead of like motherfucking, it says mother fluffin'.
That's pretty awesome. That's how he gets around it.
I love that book, and this issue was great. It was a whole conversation between her and the Queen of Fairyland.
That's great.
There's a narrator that's a slug, and right in the first panel, first page, they blow his brains out because they get sick of listening to him.
That's pretty awesome.
It's fantastic.
Well, that's good. I mean, is there like an is there a bigger plot to it? Or is there just kind of her traveling around right now?
She's trying to find the key to get out of Fairyland.
Mm-hmm.
And the queen is sick of her because she keeps killing everything in Fairyland. But the queen can't hurt her because there's a law that states the queen can't hurt a single hair on any guest of Fairyland. And she's a guest of Fairyland.
Okay.
So now the queen has invited somebody else to Fairyland to get the key. Because once they find the key, she's no longer a guest and they can kill her. So it's the whole idea of her trying to get out of Fairyland. And the shenanigans she comes up with.
It sounds pretty awesome.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And then the ones I want to mention that were really good this week, or I'm assuming are really good. I haven't gotten to them yet, I'm not going to lie. Star Wars came out this week, and Star Wars has been constantly fantastic.
Star Wars Jason 15, Aaron, right?
Yeah, Jason Aaron is my favorite writer out there right now.
Yeah.
Anything with his name on it, pick it up because it's great.
Especially
Thor.
He's doing Thor too. Wow.
Yeah.
That guy's busy. Way to give him
Thor.
Two of the biggest books.
Strange. He's doing Star Wars, and he's doing his own indie book called Southern Bastards.
I have read that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then Silver Surfer number 1 came out this week. Silver Surfer in the universe. It's Mike Allred and Dan Slott. Sorry, I got it right next to me, so I'm cheating. the first run from the first 18 issues were great, and now this is a new number 1 in this new universe. So I'm assuming it's going to be great as well.
Does the Silver Surfer talk?
Yeah.
There's something about him. I just don't think I've ever seen a panel with him speaking. It might have been – I might be thinking about the old original Fantastic Four movie. Did he speak in that movie for some reason? I feel like
very little.
Yeah, he didn't talk a lot, right? He was, and they made him out as like the villain, and
yeah, that big cloud kind of silenced him a little bit.
Yeah, the Galactus cloud. Hey, man, I can't say anything though because DC went and did that with Parallax. So something about clouds, man. I don't know.
Like, how did you not look at the Fantastic Four movie and be like, clouds, don't fucking do it?
Yeah, and then they go to Green Lantern. Like, Parallax is this giant like dragon demon thing. Yeah, let's make him a cloud.
Yeah.
Sure, doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but that's it for our comics of the week. We talked about movies. We talked about Star Wars. We talked about our comic books. We talked about Star Wars, and we talked about our TV shows, and we talked a lot about Star Wars.
Did you mention Star Wars?
Yeah, we did Star Wars. I heard a little bit about that movie, Star Wars. The podcast, it's going to be a little Star Wars heavy for right now because that's where we're living in the Star Wars right now.
Star Wars books to get through.
Yeah, and you're going to come back and talk to us about them. I want to hear about them. I will say I did read, Anakin and Obi-Wan book.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, where you get I don't read Marvel, but I read this book and it's Obi-Wan. And who was like one of the best parts of the prequels? And then you get Anakin, but it's like it's not the shitty Anakin because you can't hear him speak or he can't really act in a comic book. So you can pretend he's acting. You can pretend that he's Hayden Christensen is actually, you know, acting well in the book.
Did you watch Clone Wars?
The TV show?
Yeah.
No, I never. It's one of those things I still have to do.
Clone Wars kind of redeems the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy. Uh-huh. Because it's the first season's kind of so-so, but then it picks up and it starts to get in its groove and figure out what it is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a pretty common thread.
Yeah, it really is.
And the show's just great because it's just serialized Star Wars. And it makes Anakin a really cool character. It turned General Grievous into probably my favorite Star Wars villain. And then the addition of Ahsoka Tano. Like, Ahsoka Tano is a great character, too. And she's going to be coming into Rebels here soon. Either she already did. I haven't watched season two yet.
Huh.
And, like, there's so much great stuff there to follow. And then, I mean, they brought back Darth Maul, too.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like about that, you know?
Darth Maul was awesome.
He was. And I'm kind of... I mean, we can get into that next time. If you want, but so, I mean, that's it for Cantina Cast. I'm Miguel Ricardo signing off.
I'm Chris Runt. You can find me on Twitter at that Chris Runt, and find my other show, Video Game Fever. You can get it on SoundCloud and iTunes right now.
It's a fantastic show. I can attest.
About the video games.
All right, same cantina time, same cantina place.
I'll see you guys later. Guys.